Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, we're going to talk about some of the fallout from Obamacare with Bill Welch, president and CEO of the Nevada Hospital Association, and Stacy Woodbury with the Nevada State Medical Association. It's all coming up next on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
This segment was brought to you by Amplify Relations, leading Nevada in public relations, government affairs, and advertising.
Your business deserves the absolute best in workers' compensation. You should know that not all workers' comp is equal. With Pro Group Management, your business is all that matters. What do you receive for your premium dollar? Professional risk management team, top-rated claim service, customer care team, website access to your full account? It's all in the numbers. You can upgrade your dollars and make them stretch farther and more efficiently. Call us today. You deserve the best. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Question 1 creates a new court of appeals in Nevada at almost no cost to taxpayers. While child custody cases take years to resolve, victims of crime wait too long for closure, and businesses are forced to consider states where courts work faster. Our Supreme Court is required to hear prisoner complaints about food choices and clothing options. Our system is clogged and getting worse. Nevadans deserve access to justice, but justice delayed is justice denied. Vote yes on Question 1.
What has the massive Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center contributed to Northern Nevada, and just in the past few years? Well, they're home to 130 industrial companies, manufacturing, distribution, clean energy, occupying over 12 million square feet of industrial space, and employing over 6,000 Nevadans. That's incredible. All in less than 5 years. And with over 100,000 acres to go, we're just getting started. The Tahoe-Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevadans.
Through our history, the trucking industry has changed a lot. Today's environmentally compliant trucks are cleaner than ever. And through safety initiatives and technology, we've reduced the number of truck-related fatalities by 73%. This is due to the dedication of the hardworking men and women in the trucking industry, who safely deliver 69% of our nation's freight and 94% of Nevada. We thank you, because trucks move America forward.
Closed captioning of Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. Trucking moves America forward. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are pleased after a long absence to welcome back to the program Bill Welch. He's the CEO of the Nevada Hospital Association. Pleasure to have you here. And Stacy Woodbury, who's the executive director of the Nevada State Medical Association. So, Stacy, you wrote an article called Network Adequacy. What is it and why is it so important? And so my challenge to you is, in 60 seconds or less, explain what this is. Network adequacy.
Network adequacy. So under the Affordable Care Act, there's some new provisions that apply to insurers that they have to provide an adequate network of providers for the insurance services that they're providing. There's the 10 essential benefits, of course, that the ACA requires policies to have. And then for any other services that an insurer is going to provide, they have to provide enough people to serve the population. If I have a network of 10,000 people, I have to have enough primary care physicians to do that. I have to have enough urgent care ER providers. I have to have enough cardiologists to handle the cardiologist population. Some of those people are kids. I have to have enough pediatricians to service that. So it's going to change the landscape, particularly, I think, in rural Nevada, of how people receive their services.
All right, well, let me stop you for a second here, because, you know, you're hitting on something right away, which is that we don't have enough of any of those doctors in the state.
That's correct.
Period. So it's not just the insurance industry's fault. It's, you know, I mean, you can look around where you want to put blame. Lack of residencies in the state, et cetera, but we don't have enough doctors to cover the needs of our citizens, and we're now about to grow dramatically again.
Well, and we are, because we have more insured people than before with the Medicaid expansion in Nevada.
And plus population growth.
And population growth, too. An expansion of graduate medical education would go a long way to providing more physicians in this state. But we've got a unique situation that a lot of people back east don't have, which is our border communities, where traditionally people in Elko are getting a lot of services from Salt Lake City or from Twin Falls. And so one of the things that the Affordable Care Act did is shrink networks to within the physical borders of a state, which has a huge impact. And that's one of the great things that the insurance commissioner is trying to do in his regulation, is allow those kind of relationships to continue across state borders.
Okay, so telemedicine. We had a doctor on the program a week or so ago talking about they're doing telemedicine out of Las Vegas. It seemed from his discussion that there was a lot of promise to this. Do you agree with that, or do you have concerns?
No, I agree with that, Sam. Telemedicine is going to be the way of the future to help facilitate getting care to populations that otherwise would struggle in getting that care, particularly when you start looking at specialty-type diagnostic support services, cardiologists, ENT. In the old days, those physicians would make rural rotations around the state. It's just not economically feasible, nor do we have the manpower anymore. So these primary care physicians out in rural Nevada, through telemedicine technologies, still can have access to specialists in the urban setting. The patients benefit from that because they'll be able to get that clinical evaluation support from a specialist as well as a primary care physician without having to take time off from work, without having to travel all the way into an urban community. And one of the areas that's going to be particularly important, and it has been, is mental health. How do we deal with the mental health situation? We have a shortage of psychiatrists in our urban settings, and for the most part, we don't even have that type of service out in rural Nevada. So that will be a way for those type of services to transfer.
Forgive me for using the word, but is that adequate to have telemedicine dealing with mental illness?
Telemedicine is not the answer for all clinical evaluations. But in the absence of having that specialist there, if you have a primary care physician or a primary care provider in a rural setting who, through telemedicine technology, similar to what we're doing today, who has a psychiatrist at the other end of the spectrum, being able to help evaluate the patient while the doctor takes him through the examination, I think it is.
And I think that goes, as he said, a healthcare provider. You're talking about not just primary care physicians, but advanced practitioners of nursing, physician assistants that are desperately needed to help fill in that primary care network gap in our rural areas.
Okay, and are we, you know, Mary Lau's been on the program many times talking about how the major chain retailers are trying to provide services and will provide services going into the future that will involve nurse practitioners and pharmacists doing so much more that were being done by primary care doctors in the past. Do we have enough people to handle that part of the situation?
I think what we need to be concerned with about there is that to make sure that any healthcare professional has a scope of practice that of which they're authorized to practice in. And for pharmacists, it's very different than it is for advanced practitioners in nursing. So as long as these people are practicing within the scope of practice, they can provide some of that safety net coverage and help keep a healthier population is the goal, I think. Yes. Right, Bill?
That would be correct.
And last year, for the first time, I got my flu shot at Costco, which was pretty amazing. But they did assure me it was the lowest cost flu shot around. All right, let's take a break. More on this topic. Actually, it's a pretty serious topic. We'll be right back after this.
To contact Nevada Newsmakers, call 775-857-2244 or go to NevadaNewsmakers.com.
From your house to the White House, the folks at D&D Roofing can get it fixed with their eyes closed.
I'm Elisa Caffaretta, candidate for Reno City Council, and I want to talk about smart government.
Don't you mean small government?
Mother, smart government is focused on building an innovative, connected, and safe city.
Well, you should make it easier for people and cut the red tape.
Smart government is my plan to support tech startups and local businesses and to create jobs.
And what about controlling the city's budget?
That's what I'm saying. I'm Elisa Caffaretta. I'm asking for your vote for Reno City Council.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Through our history, the trucking industry has changed a lot. Today's environmentally compliant trucks are cleaner than ever. And through safety initiatives and technology, we've reduced the number of truck-related fatalities by 73%. This is due to the dedication of the hardworking men and women in the trucking industry, who safely deliver 69% of our nation's freight and 94% of Nevada. We thank you, because trucks move America forward.
Closed captioning of Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you by the Nevada Trucking Association. Trucking moves America forward. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Bill Welch and Stacey Woodbury talking about network adequacy. So let's talk about Obamacare in general. You know, we've gotten through the first year, a little shaky from the state's point of view. Now we're going over to a federal system. Is Obamacare actually working to an extent in the Silver State?
From the standpoint, Sam, that we talk about moving people who are uninsured to having some level of coverage, it is working. When we look at the uninsured population of 2 years ago, which was running in excess of 22%, we look at the uninsured population today running 10 to 12%, we do have more people covered. Now, the challenge that we have, even though they have more coverage, most of this population is through the expansion of Medicaid. We have doubled Medicaid population from 1 year ago to today. So by simply providing them health care coverage does not necessarily improve their access to health care services. We have a shortage of health care providers, which we were just talking about, well, number one. Number two, our Medicaid system is got some flaws, and I'll say it as tactfully as I possibly can.
There's not enough money, is that what you're saying?
Not enough money. And so
Let me translate.
We have many providers who are not willing to take the Medicaid recipients. And so even though we now have many more that have coverage, they still have difficulty getting access to the services. So we need to fix the Medicaid system, and when we can add that to the Affordable Health Care Act and how that's been implemented, I think that we will have seen some benefits.
Because the Medicaid system traditionally had a shortage of providers anyway because of the rate situation and the stall in any kind of an increase or adjustment to those rates for many years. And so then you double the size of that system and they don't really have a network per se. They just have people that take Medicaid, and the input I'm hearing is from physicians.
Okay, let me back you up so we can explain this. So what you're saying is that they may have insurance, and they may be able to go to see a doctor, but they are not part of a plan that has access to doctors both in the plan, like most insurance policies do in Nevada, and then other hospitals across the country and doctors that they would be in their plan.
That's correct.
So the cost would still be very high for them if they went somewhere else.
So that comes back to your adequacy of network, Sam. With Medicaid, they have two managed care organizations. So Medicaid is facilitated through managed care or fee-for-service. They have a list of participating providers, and those are physicians or clinical outpatient diagnostic services or hospitals that have agreed to care for Medicaid patients. The problem that we have is that most of those physician providers are, and I don't want to say all, but many of them are participating providers of the Medicaid program because our hospitals require them to have medical staff privileges at the hospital to be a participating member of the Medicaid panel. Now, that doesn't mean that those providers will willingly accept Medicaid patients that come directly to their office. What it means is that they will agree to see a Medicaid patient if that Medicaid patient presents at a hospital ER. So the Medicaid doesn't have the out-of-pocket that you were going down. Now, when we start talking about the health insurance exchange, as we create narrow networks, people have insurance, but those narrow networks limit them to where they can access care. Now, in a non-emergent situation, that's fine. It makes sense. But when you are in an emergent situation and you go to the closest facility for care, you are going to end up in an out-of-network facility.
Which means your cost is going to be higher.
providers, and you're going to have a higher cost.
I would argue, though, that a narrow network may not even be acceptable, and that's one of our issues in a non-emergent situation, because I have two chronic conditions. I see my physician regularly. If my network narrows and he's not on my panel, I have to start over with someone new, and he's been caring for me for the last 18 years. So where does that leave me as a patient?
Well, I've got a doctor just retiring on me, and, you know, we're kind of in the same boat there. But is this working in any way efficiently for either the doctors or the hospitals?
In what way? You mean the Affordable Care Act?
Yes.
I think that
I should take it further and say for the patient.
For the patient. I think there's a lot of good things that are happening for the patient. Certainly, we're hoping that to see more patients divert their primary care to a physician or an APRN that can take care of them and keep them out of the emergency room so that the emergency rooms can serve truly sick people. I think that's a very positive thing. I think you've got people who are getting coverage through Medicaid or through a subsidized plan that didn't have coverage. We can get them healthier. That's a very positive thing. And the rest of the stuff is just kinks in the system, I think, that need to be worked out.
Okay, so the big question for you, Bill, is, you know, are we moving people out of the emergency room into doctor's offices, which I think was a major part of this plan?
I would say no at this point in time, Sam. I think we're going to get there within a couple of years, but right now I'd say no. Most of the people, we know about the challenges that the state had with their health insurance exchange. We don't need to beat that up.
Challenges is a very kind word.
I'm trying to be politically correct here. So they've had a lot of challenges. So they were targeting 118,000 approximately to be on the insurance exchange by the end of this calendar year. They're running somewhere between 35 and 40,000 right now. Most of that population already had insurance, and they just rolled over from prior plans that they were under into the new. So we really haven't seen a lot of new population that has health insurance that didn't have it before. Where the shrinkage in the uninsured population has been in the Medicaid population, going from 330,000 approximately to 617,000 within a year.
Hang on.
And so that's where the challenge is. Now, when we start really seeing the exchange starts working and we start getting people on it, it will be better. But right now, most of this population still comes to the hospital ERs to get their coverage. We're seeing an increase in Medicaid population hitting our facilities. It's hard to tell the true impact because even with Medicaid, getting the applications processed, they were bogged down and they were behind. And so it's only been in the last 90 days that they've really been catching up and getting things processed. Have me on your show in 2015, and I'll be able to give you the impact of what we're seeing. But right now, Medicaid population is trending up. Our insured population is actually becoming a smaller representation of our utilization. In 2007, 36% of patients who presented themselves at the hospital had health insurance. Today, in 2013, today I use 1 year's old data because that's what we have, it's 23%.
Okay. All right, let's take a break. I'm going to hold you guys over for the whole show here, if you don't mind. So we'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers. Very important topic here. It affects you in lots of ways. We'll be right back.
To get a DVD copy of any Nevada Newsmakers program, call 775-857-2244. The cost is $30, including shipping, handling, and tax.
This segment was brought to you by Amplify Relations, leading Nevada in public relations, government affairs, and advertising.
The Tamarack Junction is South Reno's hotspot for food, fun, and friends. Play the hottest slots and video games. Join the Conductors Club and earn comps and free play. Meet your friends at Sully Sports Bar and feast on juicy burgers, wings, big beers, and all your favorite cocktails. Download the Tamarack Junction mobile app for exclusive food and gaming offers right from your phone. The Tamarack Junction, where friends meet in South Reno, just north of the Summit Mall on South Virginia.
When it comes to enforcing the law and keeping families safe, the last thing we can afford is a mistake by an inexperienced lawyer. A lawyer like Adam Laxalt. In a performance review, Laxalt's firm called him a train wreck. His work, sloppy. They concluded he doesn't even have the basic skill set to be a lawyer. In fact, Laxalt has never even tried a case in Nevada. And now he wants to be our attorney general? Adam Laxalt, dangerously inexperienced.
Are you hungry? Come enjoy our $5.99 breakfast, lunch, or dinner special value menu. Cheddar Jack cheese omelet, burger and fries, super sloppy Joe and fries, plus much more. Eat at Joe's, corner of South Virginia and Neal.
Injured in an accident, don't have health insurance, can't afford the copays? We see this with almost every client. We can get them the medical attention immediately.
Golightly in Vanna, 222-3333.
You've recognized us here for 56 years. We are Palace Jewelry and Loan.
You have recognized us here for 20 years. We are All American Jewelry and Loan.
Now united, Palace Jewelry and Loan and All American Jewelry and Loan offer their customers the same exceptional service and selection all in one big family of stores. The most comprehensive selection for any and all of your shopping needs at affordable prices.
We've always been one family. Now we're one operation at two convenient locations.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Stacy Woodbury of the Nevada State Medical Association and Bill Welch, President and CEO of the Nevada Hospital Association. So bottom line then for your emergency room, how do you get people to stop coming to the emergency room and going to these other practitioners that are now becoming available? Because this is just the largest cost, and at this point you have no way to stop somebody walking in the emergency room and saying, treat me.
Well, you're right, Sam. There's no way that we can stop patients from presenting at the hospital ER. The EMTALA law, federal law, that requires us to take any patient who presents and at least triage them and determine whether or not they have a medical condition that needs to be treated. It's going to take education. And if we are true in that we have 90% of our population who are insured now through some sort of coverage, whether it's Medicaid or health insurance, it seems to me that the provider community and the payer community need to be working together. We have access to 90% of the population now, and we need to start educating them at the front end and giving them the incentives and the tools to better understand how to utilize the system.
Well, what does that mean? Because when I go to the doctor, to my primary care physician, I show up there at 8 o'clock in the morning. They tell me it's going to be 2 hours, and we'll be happy to call you on your cell phone when the doctor's ready to see you. They call you, you come in, and you wait another hour and a half before you get there. What's the incentive for me not to go to the emergency room where I may only be there a couple hours?
Well, the incentive for you is going to be if you go to your physician, you're going to have less out-of-pocket expense. If you come to the hospital ER, you're coming to one of the most costly centers for the delivery of healthcare services because of all of the infrastructure that we have to have readily available to be prepared to deal with any emergency that presents.
All right. Stacey, you've been dying to jump in.
I have been, and Bill's going exactly where I was going to go. I've been talking about this issue for most of this year, saying that one of the big missing components of the ACA was education, because the whole idea is you take someone that has not had insurance and you give them insurance, but you don't tell them why that's a good thing, other than, well, now they'll pay part of my hospital bill when I go to the ER. It's a culture change for people who haven't traditionally had that doctor-patient relationship. Excellent case in point, if you've ever been with the Access to Healthcare program, talk to these people, Sherry Rice here in Washoe County. They take people, they educate them about the importance of making appointments, keeping appointments. They get them healthy and they keep them healthy. And that's something that the uninsured population has, that we're now covering, has to learn, that it's better to get healthy and stay healthy. And some of these people may have, frankly, chronic conditions that have been untreated for a long time. I was in the dentist's office with my kids the other day, and there was a high school age girl who was coming in to get 4 cavities filled in one day. I thought probably they just got insurance coverage and she hasn't been to a dentist in a long time. Positive for patients, but it requires education. Get healthy and stay healthy.
Okay, so a big red flag out there for a lot of people in Southern Nevada is UMC and their financial woes. How do they fare with the whole ACA? I mean, does this help them or just continue to pile on the pain?
I think it helps UMC, and I think it overall it will help the entire healthcare delivery system, Sam. They are one of the primary, not the only, but one of the primary providers of Medicaid services, as well as the uninsured population. So, as some would say, getting a little bit is better than getting nothing for the care that you're providing or to cover the cost of the care that you're providing. So, overall, I think it's going to be beneficial for UMC.
But do you think it's going to in any way staunch the bleeding that the hospital is suffering?
I think that there are a lot of factors that cause the situation where UMC has financial woes. I know that the hospital is aggressively attacking those issues at this point in time. You've seen a number of announcements recently where they are trying to become more efficiently staffed, and there have been reductions in some staff. They're looking at services that they no longer can financially sustain. In today's environment, with how the reimbursement system is working, understanding that the majority of the population is either covered by Medicaid or Medicare, you're going to have to look very carefully at what lines of services that you offer so that you can make sure that you're financially sustainable. And I know that UMC is doing that. And UMC is a critical component to the healthcare delivery system in Clark County. Without UMC, we would have real serious problems in Clark County.
Stacey, you get the last 10 seconds.
I just think we have to look at Medicaid reforms, and it's not just reimbursements. It's making it easier for physicians to work with Nevada Medicaid. I hear that a lot.
And that's where you got to leave it. Thank you both very much. Okay, very informative. You. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this time out.
I'm workers' comp attorney Jay Short. I grew up on a family farm, and I know the value of hard work. I also know how devastating an on-the-job injury can be. Trusting the right workers' compensation lawyer can make all the difference in getting you and your family back on your feet. At my office, workers' compensation is all we do. We've been helping Nevada's injured workers for over 20 years. We'd like to help you.
If you've been hurt on the job, call attorney Jay Short at 786-2006. Work comp is all we do.
Friends find a way to brighten your day. In good times and bad, lift you up when you're sad. Friends will always find a way.
Sometimes in your financial life, you need a friend too. With our variety of loan services, we'll have one to fit your needs. We're here for you.
Friends will always find a way.
Check City, here to help when you need cash.
Montel here from Money Mutual. I'd like you to meet Shelley.
I was juggling a lot of payments. I got behind on the electric bill, so I needed money in a hurry.
So she called Money Mutual. They have a network of short-term lenders who can lend you up to $1,000 in as little as 24 hours. Money Mutual has helped over a million people like Shelly get short-term cash. It's fast, it's easy, it's private. Shelly's kids think that she's one in a million, and so do we. Go to MoneyMutual.com or call 1-800-555-CASH.
America's a free country, but innocent people are still getting charged with crimes they did not commit. I'm attorney Jesse Calter, and there is nothing worse than an innocent person being locked up. Being a defense attorney is my passion. I will fight for your rights and your freedom. Do you have the right defense attorney protecting you or your loved ones? Don't wait. Call me now for a free consultation. What's your freedom worth?
On the next broadcast, Howard Stutz, the gaming correspondent, the Las Vegas Review-Journal. We'll see you on the next broadcast.